Yes, the great Sean Burgoyne. We could have played a few more of his highlights, but we actually would have had to have extended the show by another 5 hours. 407 games. I know people know who Sean Burgoyne is. We don't need to give him the intro, but he deserves it. Can I just, when I was researching a little bit of Sean's amazing career today, Jimmy, and you're well-versed to be able to talk about this, given how many games you played, 407 games over 20 seasons. And in 15 of those seasons, he polled Brownlow votes. How do you play for 20 years and only have 5 years where you don't poll Brownlow votes?
Well, they would have got it wrong in those 5 years.
100%. I bet you he could go through games and could have played anywhere, which got me thinking and asking the question today. Is there any other player that's played as much as Sean Burgoyne or even half as much? We got to the end of his career. We thought, gee, I wonder what his best position was. Kick 40 goals in his second year as a forward. Kick 40 goals again a few years later in 07 from the midfield.
Yeah, that to me.
Half back.
I know he's had 20 brilliant years, but is he there yet? Sean, is he on the line yet?
Well, let's find out. Sean Burgoyne, who's got his own book out, that's Silk, which you're going to ask him about. I think he's online. Welcome to you, Sean.
Hey, guys, how are you? I'm waiting for the right time to jump in.
hey, Sean, I know every player will say a premiership year is their best year, but from a personal satisfaction point of view, do you have a year? Like, I thought one of your 20, the 07 year where you kicked 39, but you're playing as a midfielder just
stands out.
You're just having a laugh, really, with the rest of the competition. was that the best?
It's funny because I remember, I was All-Australian a couple of years before that in 2006 as a non-baller, which I thought I played okay. And then I thought I played better a couple of years later in the year you're mentioning. I thought I played better. All my stats were better. I'd kicked 40 goals, whatever it was, being on ball tagged. And some of the feedback I got was my season wasn't as good as the previous year or the year before. So, I reckon about 2007, I think, when I had your great mate Lingy, whenever we played Geelong. And if it wasn't him, it was Maxie Rook trying to rough me up all the time. So it was a mini game within a game back then when I was playing on ball, because each week the opposition tagger would normally try to tag me, and you're trying to play mind games, as you know, when someone comes to you, how to beat those taggers. But they were definitely some of the most challenging years I've had, but most rewarding.
Yeah, they were two big brutes to try and get away from. It's going to be a strange question, but obviously everyone makes a big deal, of course, how you arrived at Hawthorn, you're on the crutches and things like that. In a strange way, did that help add years to your footy because you became even better with your preparation, understanding your body, what you sort of need to do from a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, it did. I thought I was pretty good with my preparation and how professional I was. But then when your career's put on the line and you're told by the surgeon this surgery's either going to help you or you're going to have to retire, then you really, really got to become elite and obsessive about your body, which is exactly what I did. The first day I walked into Hawthorn, Andrew Russell, the fitness coach at the time, said, drop your dacks in and your jocks and get on the scale. So I did that. I was standing in my jocks on the scales, and he said, yep, we're going to strip a few kilos off you. So change your diet, your sleep, change your weights program, and mentally we'll get you up and about playing some different roles. So, you know, when it's put to you like that, then it's all in your control, what you can and can't do. So, yeah, that's when I really had to really sharpen the screws in all aspects of my life, to enable me to get onto the footy field.
You're back at Port Adelaide in a wide-ranging off-field role. You've also got the book, Silk, out. What was the favourite part of the book for you, Sean?
Well, I'm very nervous, actually, to be honest about the book. Okay. I had to be talked into it, to be honest, to do it, because I was just nervous about being critiqued and judged about something other than football.
Yeah.
But I actually just enjoyed the whole. Once I got sitting down with Martin Blake and helped co-write it, I actually really enjoyed just actually the whole journey about reminiscing about everything, my life as a kid, my father's life, my footy career, and even the rough times in football. When you look back over your journey, the rough times and the times where you got down and you were down and out actually brings a smile to my face, to be honest, because it's just a part of my journey and part of what's helped create me to the person I am today. So actually reminiscing and putting a full stop on my footy career was, quite rewarding.
We mentioned the off-field role at Port Adelaide. What were your day-to-day stuff involve?
Yeah, it's going to be across a few different things. So I'll have a little bit to do with list management. Obviously, Jason Cripps is the list manager, so probably working with him a little bit. Government and corporate relations, there's a number of sponsors they've got and trying to raise some money to extend the club. I'll be the Indigenous liaison officer with the Indigenous boys there and just some leadership and mentoring stuff. So there's a number of things there. Once we get in there, we'll tweak things to see, this role's going to, you know, need this amount of time and that amount of time. At the moment, across a few different things, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to, learning something other than footy.
Now, the day I retired, I reckon my phone had about 45 local football clubs wanting one game or two games or three games.
Only 45?
Have you committed anywhere for three games?
I've actually had a couple of phone calls. One coming from Darwin to see if I wanted to play up there. Actually, two from Darwin. I've been up to play. I said no thanks. I didn't want to die in the sun up there. Then a couple country leagues. That'll be hot, mate. Running around up there in the MT. It's not my go. Potentially go back home to Mallee Park and play one game there. That's about it, really. But I'm looking forward to actually going and watch the amateurs play and having a beer, you know, sitting in a deck chair, to be honest.
Yeah, finally the stress of not having to rock up every week, Sean, and put your body through the torment that it did for 20 years won't be there. Hey, can I just ask you about the end of this year? A weird one in so many ways for the Hawks. Now that you can be honest with us, when it was originally announced, the handover plan, did you sit there, Sean, and think, hang on, I know Clarko. I don't know if I can see this happening.
Yeah, well, I think everyone thought that, to be honest. Fair to say, well, we, as players, in all honesty, we didn't know what was going on. We'd rock up the training, and when we, you know, we're Waverley situated in Melbourne, and there's never any media out there, but when you rock up the training and there's media already waiting in the stands, you know something's happening. So that's literally when we would find out. We'd rock up the training, like, oh, what's going on here? And then we'd come in after training, there'd be a meeting, and say, all right, guys, this is what's happened. And so none of the players actually knew what was going on that last 6 months, because obviously the decisions are made upstairs. But those decisions do have an impact on the playing group from day to day, because it's something you can't avoid. You talk about it, and you know, in the change rooms and after games, before games or whatever, because it's in your face and it's an everyday topic. So yeah, to be honest, I couldn't really shed any much light on that, because you just found out when the reporters were actually breaking the news.
What kind of coach do you think Sam Mitchell will be?
Yeah, he's it's going to be interesting to see. He's always been a very smart football player, meticulous in his habits.
Yep.
So I think he'll be able to get his point across very easily to the playing group. But we'll just see how he goes. He's a young coach. I think the way things have happened over the last 6 months, it's going to be interesting to see how he goes, because obviously he's taken over from the greatest Hawthorn coach there was. So big shoes to fill, but he'll do things his way, and you know, time will tell whether it's the right choice or not.
Sure, no, I know the role we spoke about, you'll be doing bits and pieces, but was that an option for you, or you seriously considered going into coaching yourself? Because there would have been offers for you to be in it, like just a full-time assistant coach.
Yeah, there was there were some offers and people ringing up and speaking to my manager about coaching. I gave it a bit of a thought, but at this time, I've just figured, you know, assistant coaches, they put in hours and hours and hours of work in behind the scenes to get ready for not only training, or not only games, but training. So I thought it'd be a good time just to step back and just do some footy ops admin stuff, you know, in a footy club, and then we'll wait and see at the end of this year whether that's something I want to stay in or get back into coaching. But at the moment, I'm just excited about doing something new other than football.
And from the man himself, don't worry about me and Jimmy debating it. What was your best position?
I probably like to think on ball. When I had a good knee, I'd like to think I'd played some good footy there.
I think you played some good footy with one good knee as well.
But in all honesty, I actually really enjoyed the challenge later on in my career, because
yep.
we sat down with Clarko and said, well, if you're going to play on ball, your shoulders are going to be cooked, your back's going to get cooked, you know, knees and ankles, and the rigors of the game is going to cook you. So he said, let's play back, forward and mid, and which I really enjoyed that challenge. From game to game, and then obviously from quarter to quarter, because that's what happened in real time. But I think that's one of the things that kept me going later on into my career, is that challenge each week of getting up for the team, and then when the team needed me to change my role, then mentally get through that and then actually perform. So I think that was a real big turn in my career of going later into my late 30s.
Sean, such a privilege to have you on. We could talk for hours to you. Port Adelaide are very lucky to have you back. The AFL is still lucky to have you involved in the game. I'm sure you'll be involved for a long time yet. So good luck with the next phase of your career and your life. And we're all looking forward to reading your book, Silk.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.